Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Successful Homeownership Show with your host, Richard McKenzie, out of the greater Cincinnati area and northern Kentucky, as well as the greater Dayton areas. Today's episode, my wife and I are coming back from our vacation, and we got to see some incredible foundation walls at Zion National Park, as well as the north rim of the Grand Canyon. Those types of foundations we're probably not going to see in some of the houses we inspect, but they were fun to see regardless. I don't think those are going to move anywhere anytime soon. The trees were just monstrous also, and the sights were just incredible, so I just wanted to throw that in there just for fun. However, today's episode, I want to talk a little bit about what is a 13-year-old house, which was built by a reputable builder in our area in Cincinnati. What is that type of an inspection like? Why am I covering this type of an inspection? It's a vinyl-sided house with also some brick as well, because it is a very common house to encounter in our area. There are several different neighborhoods, suburbs, in and out of the greater Cincinnati, and probably all throughout the country. And when you inspect a house that is 13 years old, you're in sort of an in-betweener type of a timing. What do I mean by that? So when you are a 13-year-old house, typically air conditioners last 15 to 20 years, so has the air conditioner been serviced and cleaned over the past years? Same thing for the furnace. The furnace is going to last about 20 to 25 years. Has that been serviced over the years regularly? In other words, annually is typically what we look for that. And the roof. The roof is, some builders put on 25 to 30 year shingles, some put on 20 year shingles, and at 13 years, what does that look like? So there are things that we think about with a 13-year-old house that we want to look for. So we, of course, start from the outside. So if you're a first-time home buyer, listen in, because this is going to be the type of house that you may buy. It may also be a house that is an upgrade house, maybe a second house for people. If they started out with a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, and they're moving to a 4-bedroom, 2 full bath, 2 half bath, with the other half bathroom being in the basement, this may be the house for you also. It has a 2-car garage and is somewhere in the neighborhood of 2,000 to 3,000 square feet, somewhere in there. I think it was maybe 2,400, something like that. Okay, so we still start from the outside, and we're getting a good look at the roof, because what are we seeing? We're not seeing any shingle spreading. We're not seeing anything moving, shifting, corners coming up. But there were about 3 nail pops. What are nail pops? Nail pops are where the roofing nail in a particular area pushes up, tries to work its way out, and it basically causes the tent, the shingle, to form what's called a little tent kind of a thing. So when looking at that, we note that, and it is important that those do get fixed by a qualified roofing contractor. You don't want a nail working its way out. So we did note that in the report, explain that to the client. They understood it very well, and that will be something that they will want to be fixed. We walk around the house, and when I have a new house, so we have a 13-year-old house, and I'm just talking about a new house built by a builder. When we're at the new house, we always tell the client to put on their calendar a year from now to have some topsoil delivered to the house and to add it around the sides of the house and regrade it, even if there are like window wells and that sort of thing. And because the soil will settle around the house, and if nobody ever adds any more, water's going to settle against the house. It's going to be in the area around the foundation walls, and that's what can make your basement walls become wet. They can cause mold in the basement and those sorts of things. So we want to keep water away from the house. So on all 4 sides of this house, we encourage them to go ahead and get some topsoil delivered, maybe a cubic yard or so, and add that topsoil against the foundation walls and grade that away from the house. Pack it in real well up to the tops of the window wells and to basically force water to flow away from the house. All right, so those are things that we noted from the outside. Siding looked fine. There's always going to be one side of the house that gets less sun than the others, and there may be a little bit of algae or mildew forming on that side, and that's the one where you want to spend a little bit of time pressure washing that. And then the garage, this particular family had moved a lot of stuff into the garage, which to make the rest of the house look a little more empty because they are moving. That made it a little more crowded, but we can't really move people's stuff out of the garage to inspect every square inch, but we got a pretty good view of everything. Wasn't really anything noteworthy. Some garage doors still need adjustment on the pressure release, the reversing when it's met with some resistance. This one worked fine. Some garage doors encounter some wrinkles, some bends, some bumps. This one looked fine, but those are things that we look for at 13 years. This house had two air conditioners. Now, it wasn't an extraordinarily large house, but it was one which had a unique master bedroom that was above the garage and therefore can take heat in the summer as well as also because it has its own attic, because it becomes a second floor if you look at it that way. And then in the winter, it's going to have a source of cold because it does not have the rest of the house below it. It has an unheated area, which is the garage. So it had a Daikin brand heat pump, ductless heat pump. The ductless heat pumps are very popular in the Caribbean, other parts of the world, which have more concrete construction, and you don't have any place to put ducts, apartment buildings as well. So this worked very well, worked normally. We, of course, because it's over 60 degrees, did not test it in the heating mode, but it worked very well and has a typical lifespan, 15 to 20 years, as would an air conditioner unit outside. Air conditioner unit, 13 years old. Okay, it only reached 66 degrees on the air supplied, so that does need a repair/replacement prior to closing, and we put that in the report, told the client, and they understand that. Typically, we would expect some air supplied to be in the 40s, thereabout, if one's setting is in the 70s or low 70s for during the inspection. So that does absolutely need a repair. By who? By a qualified HVAC contractor. Not by Uncle Joe, but a qualified HVAC contractor. So that is what we put in the report as well. The house generally performed very well everywhere else. And inside the house, we did encounter quite a few what I would call nail pops. They are where the drywall on the second floor, for whatever reason, from the attic, and there's a couple reasons that those are caused, mostly by shrinking, expanding of attic space, causing the nails to work their way out, and then they cause the drywall on mud to chip away, and you can see the nail. Sometimes you can't see the nail, and you can see the drywall kind of breaking away from around the nail head. It becomes a glorified art project to repair those, and there are YouTube videos that show you how to do that. Basically, take a flathead screwdriver and pry the nail out, replace it with a 1 1/4 inch drywall screw. Why do I say 1 1/4 inch? Because I have tried using a 1 inch and it's just not enough. Doesn't have enough grab, just doesn't do well enough. And you want to use 1 1/4, go beyond flush, meaning embed it into the drywall. Use a little bit of your drywall mud, maybe out of one of those smaller containers of it with a putty knife. And then do a little wet sanding with maybe one of those sanding sponges that are flexible and can take some water. and then do some priming paint and then some flat ceiling paint, and you are pretty much done with that. And this house had about 10 of those. They are pretty common. They really are. I've seen them many times. I'm sure other inspectors have seen them at houses. And it really is an art project to fix those. What did the attic look like? And this particular house had two attics. They connected, but it was incredibly difficult to get from one to the other, so I went ahead in both of the attics to inspect. Ample insulation, 12 to 4 inches, ample ventilation. They also had baffles between the soffit areas leading up into the attic at the decking, which allow you to not block the flow of air from your soffits, which takes the hot air and rises to the highest point in the ridge and takes the hot air out of your attic. So when we were in the attic, we did feel a little bit of a breeze. That's always what you want to feel in an attic. And that looked fine. No mold or any other weird stuff in there, so that was fine. Not a lot of wear and tear in this house, quite honestly. Carpet is not part of the inspection. It showed some moderate wear. It's a 13-year-old contractor-grade carpet. Probably definitely needs to be cleaned at least at minimum. I think there were some laminate floors installed that I do not think were original. I think those have been replaced probably. All the outlets worked fine. The GFCIs worked fine. The master bathroom jacuzzi worked fine. Now, in some of the houses, you're going to see that they're starting to do garden tubs now. Certain things are popular at some point in time, and then they fade out and they go to other things. Having a jacuzzi certainly would help sore muscles and whatnot, so it's certainly a nice thing to have. That worked fine. It also had a GFCI breaker in the main panel for that to shut off the pump and so forth, the electric to it is in an emergency case. All the kitchen appliances work fine. I've never seen a Hisense refrigerator before. I know they make TVs. I think they're South Korean. I'm not sure. But that was present and had an ice maker and so forth. That all worked fine. Fireplace, they did have the gas on, so I was able to test the vented gas log system. That's something that you're typically going to see in a 13-year-old house, especially if it's built by a builder in your area that is well known. And there are going to be several builders in your area that are well known. That is for certain. In Cincinnati, we have probably about 7 to 10 that we're very familiar with. So we finished up the garage. We finished up the kitchen, all of the first floor, second floor, the attic, all the bathrooms. The water pressures were fine. There wasn't any funky plumbing that we haven't seen before. Toilets were all nice and tight to the floor. So no real issues there. Windows, all the sashes were accessible. We don't typically, and folks out there, if somebody's master bed is sitting in front of a window and there's a high headboard and it's blocking two windows, we're not going to climb on somebody's master bed to open the window. So just realize what to manage your expectations of what's reasonable for an inspection. Same thing with if the garage is overfilled with stuff. We're not going to move all that stuff out to inspect every square inch. And, oh, there's one thing that this house had that was rather unique. The person had a lot of potted plants sitting on the bamboo floor. Now, those were moved temporarily because I think they're moving. I don't think they normally would have those there. And you certainly wouldn't want to water those plants in the pot sitting on the wooden floor, because the hole in the bottom of the pot is going to weep out and that's going to ruin your floor. So I mentioned to the buyer that you want to definitely make sure with your real estate agent you do a 48-hour walkthrough to make sure that you get that one more view to make sure there's no circular stains from those potted plants on that floor. That would be very important as well. So that was rather unique situation. So what does that leave? That, of course, leaves the basement. What's in the basement? The electrical main panel, the water shutoff, the furnace, the water heater, other accoutrements and other things. Partially finished basement where you have some finished area, you have a half bathroom down there, and you have your unfinished area, which has all of your mechanicals and some other stored items and whatnot. So what do we do in a basement? Well, remember I talked about adding topsoil on each side of the basement floor, on the foundation all around the house on all four sides. So what do I do? What do we want to do? We want to test using our moisture meters the basement walls to see if there's anything on those low spots that would indicate an elevated moisture area, which would mean your gutters either are overflowing or your grading is just taking on water, or your gutter downspouts are not taking the water away from the house. Well, in this particular case, we range somewhere between 10 and 12% moisture. That's pretty darn dry. That's impressive, actually. So if the buyer decides to add that topsoil and take our suggestion and add the topsoil on all sides of the house and regrade it, that's just going to improve things further. And the client asked me, how often do I have to do that? Once, hopefully one and done. Unless you live on a place that's going to wash away your topsoil against your house, you really ought to only have to add that one time. So hopefully that's the case. So therefore, the water heater happened to be 13 years old. What is the typical lifespan of a water heater out there, folks? I know I've talked about it before. Well, 15 to 20 years. I'm a home inspector, and I had a water heater, and it died at 15 years. There you go. I'm making the average. The one I have now, I hope to get 20. Maybe if I add them together, I get the average of 15 to 20, 17 and a half years. That would be fair. So I'm expecting fully to get 20 years out of my next one. All right. Jokes aside, we move on to the furnace. This was an interesting case. We have a 90-plus furnace, which what does that mean? That means it's a high-efficiency furnace, and it's probably about 95% efficient, which means to say that about 5% of the gas that you use for that furnace you are wasting, and that's pretty typical. Most 80% furnaces, thereabout, are the lower efficiency furnaces, and they are what you call an 80% furnace, okay? Now, with this furnace, when we pulled off the cover, we look in the burn chamber there. We don't dismantle the furnace. The expectation should not be that your home inspector totally dismantle the furnace and look in the manifold. That is not part of the inspection. That's what the HVAC contractor, the specialist, does. We are the generalist. They are the specialist. What we did see is an area of extensive rust, which that rust needs to be remedied, and the furnace does need to be dismantled by the HVAC contractor to see if there may be a condensation leak from the exhaust, or possibly a secondary heat exchanger, which the high efficiency furnaces like this, the 90 plus ones, do have a secondary heat exchanger, and sometimes they can fail or break down and leak. So that might be the problem. So we put that in the report. So the major findings for this particular 13-year-old house built by a reputable builder is that the furnace and the air conditioner both need to be serviced. How long does a furnace typically last? 20 to 25 years. Now, what did I say about the air conditioner? I said 15 to 20. Notice that there is a 5-year difference, or delta, I like to call it. So typically, you really don't need your HVAC contractor to tell you that you need both the furnace and the air conditioner replaced at the same time. That typically is nonsense. It is a huge, huge expense that you don't need to do. You really should be able to run one 5 more years than the other on average. On average is a tricky term. Now, we also point out where the air filter goes. We also point out where the water main shutoff is. We also identify what type of incoming pipe that is. In this particular case, it's copper. Back in the 90s, it might have been a Blue Max, which was recalled, especially in neighborhoods in this particular area. We also want to make sure that we identify the water heater and the age, which in this case was 13 years. Want to make sure that's installed correctly, that it's still performing, and that there's no rust or oxidation, galvanic reactions, other types of things on top of the water heater or at the base. And as I mentioned before, they last 15 to 20 years. So we tested the basement walls for moisture. We looked in all the nooks and crannies. We, of course, didn't move people's personal items out of the way. Sometimes basements can be pretty crowded. There was one particular case where I inspected a house where some woman told me, unfortunately, really sadly, that she lost her mom and her sister. Both of their households got moved into her house. All that stuff was in her basement. And I just remember thinking, oh my gosh, if I fall down, I might not be able to be found. Yeah, it was that packed in, that crowded. I really could barely see anything in that basement. That being said, after doing all those things and looking at the joists, looking at the beams, looking at the posts, the foundation walls, as much as we can see, all the major mechanical systems, we don't test washers and dryers, okay? And looking at just the general performance of the basement, which I am a big advocate for keeping basements well ventilated instead of being compartmentalized and shut off, because that's how you can really get mold issues. This house did really well. In sum, what do we typically tell a buyer when we have a house like this? What are the main things? Well, remember that the pendulum can swing from right to left, left to right on whether you have a buyer's market or seller's market or somewhere in the middle and a sweet spot. Currently, as of recording this, we're still in a seller's market, so there's really not a whole lot of leeway, especially when I drove into this neighborhood and saw that this is the only house for sale. I didn't see any other houses for sale. And there are tons of houses in the 12 to 15 year range in this neighborhood, mostly built by the same builder. So you don't have a whole lot of negotiation, but the main things, as I mentioned, are those not the nail pops, those become a cosmetic item for the buyer to fix. But a couple of shingles that need repair, that may or may not be done by the seller. But you do have the furnace and air conditioner, which definitely need a servicing. So the most important things definitely were the furnace and air conditioner for this particular home inspection. So this has been a suburban style house, very typical by a particular builder. You're going to see these in other neighborhoods around the U.S. for sure. So hopefully when you're listening to this and you are either a first-time home buyer, maybe you got double income, maybe you got one income that's real good, and or maybe you have, this is your second house and you're moving out of an apartment, not an apartment, but maybe a three-bedroom, one-bath, something like that, or maybe a condo. You're moving into a house now. I didn't address anything about taking care of the yard, but remember that there are some yards in some neighborhoods that are so darn small that people say, do I need a lawnmower? And I say, no, what would you need a lawnmower for? You ought to buy a weed whacker. Just buy a good weed eater, get real good at it, and you don't need to worry about a lawnmower. This yard was pretty big, and it had a really nice fence as well. I didn't mention that. Very extensive fence, very nice. So I hope this has been helpful to help you understand what to expect, what to see, what to experience, what to ask for. I can't tell you what to ask for at a home inspection, but I pointed out that a furnace and air conditioner certainly should work well. They should work appropriately, correctly, and not have issues like this. That being said, this has been the Successful Home Ownership Show with your host, Richard McKenzie, and I really do appreciate you listening. And until our next episode, yes, thank you for listening.